What shall we look at today?
This is Jan.
Hey, Jan.
Hi. Should I take out the earplugs? Sorry, I didn't check on that.
Nope, it sounds,
can you hear me
sounds
right?
Good so far. Yep.
All right. Well, what I've been looking at, appreciating so much, well, missing being with everyone, but just appreciating how practice carries over into everyday life when, because of all that we have throughout the year supporting us and our, and dedication to practice. But the one that has stood out to me, I think mainly because of being around family more and some of the issues or stresses that can come up around that, the change is restraint, the practice of restraint. So anyway, just noticing what a huge difference that makes when the willingness is there to not indulge conditioning.
And it's almost a gift, isn't it, Jan, in the way that you lay it out, that now this sort of this period of time between when 1 year long retreat ends and the next one picks up and we're not together in person on New Year's retreats and that sort of thing, that in itself is a rhythm, isn't it? And that in that time, as you say, because of all the practice that we're doing all year together so intensively, that in this sort of gap, it gives you a chance to see some of the places where the practice is really, your things are different. And it sounds like for you in particular, in being around family, you're noticing that there's really that training is kicking in to be able to have restraint in places where that's really helpful.
Yes, yes, exactly. And just having the recordings to turn to. So if I what I found is there's one, one example would be getting triggered by one family member, and it's an old pattern between us, and I know that, and I recorded about it ahead of time that it wouldn't, and also that there's nothing wrong with it. It's just what it's a dance we've done for a long time, and but I had a chance to practice, and so when it came up, and I was when I became triggered, I just removed myself because I knew anything that would, actions or speech would not be what it would not be from the heart, that's for sure. And and then, but it took a long time and it was very painful. I mean, it's almost like getting to see, well, it is getting to see intimately the experience of suffering and how it works. And then I thought, wow, okay, this is, this is an opportunity to get it to get to know suffering that much more intimately of how it happens, what the exit ramps are, and where the resistance comes in strongest.
Yeah. Boy, and it's so poignant the way you describe it, Jan, because, you know, that place of realizing there's nothing wrong with any of it, which really does open the space to be able to really look at the suffering, really be with it. Not, it sounds like not in that way of like, okay, you know what, this time I'm going to do it right. But instead, just really right, making that recording and knowing this is a real potential, right? Because we've done this dance for years and years. And so then when you noticed it was starting up, what dropped in was to remove yourself from the situation because you knew that any action, any speech that came from that wouldn't be from the heart, and it just wasn't what you wanted. And so with that whole orientation, it sounds like really getting to have a workshop and to see how the suffering happens.
Yeah. Wow, that's really helpful to hear it reflected, because what dropped in for me in hearing it is the part of the process I saw is conditioning coming in and using practice to pull me into it. Well, you know, communication is really important, and you really need to talk this out, and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, well, there are times, yes, that's so, but this isn't it, because I'm on fire right now, and in identification, and It would not it would not be compassionate to anyone. So it was interesting to watch how it was used and the baiting that went on as I sat. After removing myself, I did sit, I recorded, I wrote, and but it just was there. And so that, so helpful to see once again.
So helpful to see. And really trusting the intelligence, right? So well, that's true. There are times where communication is really key and, you know, staying with it and, you know, whatever, reflective listening or whatever that might be. But what you saw in that moment was, but this isn't one of those moments. Instead, you're going to remove yourself from the situation, sit, record, and listen. And, you know, if there was something else to see in that, with that very open attitude of mind that you're describing, you'll see it. You know, if it felt like, you know, actually there was a piece of communication that I can have in there, great. I can, you know, have that workshop next time.
Yes, that was really helpful to hear. Yes, I will see it. And it was almost like waiting. That when in that removal, I mean, again, it's like sitting with conditioning in a way, but because the identification's there, but it is the waiting because there is that trust after a lot of practice, years of practice, that whatever it'll show itself, and who knows how long that's going to take. And what I also saw is just the waiting itself dissipates the whole thing. The removal, it dissipates, and so maybe that in that situation was what was called for. Just that alone, communication wasn't necessary. But each time, it's not like there's a formula. That was very clear.
Oh, that's so big. There isn't a formula. The formula, if you will, is presence, and presence informs us of what's appropriate in this moment. Not an idea of what practice tool to apply here, but what's here now.
Yes, and I think the last thing is that the huge what I've had since I was able to drop that and come back and be with and activities with family and friends and all else, the joy in it. The joy was, I mean, there was terrific joy, and I want to say because I got through that, but, you know, the conditioning wants, who knows? It doesn't matter. There was no looking back. It was just the joy of right now. And there was the fact that it happened wasn't a problem. And it's going to be different. It's each moment is new. I think that's what became really, really clear.
Each moment is new.
Each moment is
brand
new.
And boy, is that a skill, Jan, isn't it? Because, you know, so often, It's the sense of that whole thing, because it isn't a problem. Yeah, I mean, we all get triggered, and there's all kinds of dynamics between these two family members and these two family members, and these, I mean, infinite, right, possibilities for suffering and, you know, whatever. But if none of it's a problem, and it's willing to, you know, it's kind of that image of a storm blowing through all the, just open all the windows, then it doesn't color the rest of the time. Which so often, you know, when we're stuck in a conditioned conversation, that's exactly the point of it. Of course it's going to color the whole thing. Oh, God, we've been looking forward to this, and now it's all ruined because once again we got into this thing, right? But instead, up it comes. That's not a problem. You know, it drops in for you, how you want to work with it. Great, you do that. And then there's just terrific joy being around everyone, and I would imagine a piece of that joy being, wow, it's possible to practice right through any of it, however it goes.
Yeah. Yes, and just I was what was really clear, just the love. I mean, that the love for this person has to be, I don't know how better way to say it, has to be number one, because when that doing whatever is needed right here, right now, when that's tended to, then there's room. The love can then, it's available everywhere then. Yeah.
That's right. That's it. That's it. Yeah. Yep. Starts
well,
here.
Thank you so much, Jan. Yeah.
Thanks, Jan.
This is Scott.
Scott.
Jen. Well, just feeling a lot of gratitude for everyone showing up to do a practice right now, including this practitioner, and
including
just so clear. just so clear that there's no way to do this on your own, and that when I do that, kind of what I heard in that last conversation, it just makes our practice really vulnerable to be taken over by conditioning. I could kind of relate to some things of like some old stuff that I feel like I'm a little bit in a survival mode, kind of off and on. Mm-hmm. And when I get like that, sometimes when I turn to practice, I notice there's a, okay, I did the practice thing. Am I feeling better now? Did that work?
Yeah.
And of course, it doesn't work because you're looking to the same system that's causing the suffering to tell you if you feel better, and it's not interested in that. It's interested in you suffering. So the answer is, well, no, not really. Or, well, a little bit. I mean, if you keep doing this thing, maybe you'll be okay. And it's just, I can feel like it's got me in its grips.
Which is a ton of clarity right there, isn't it, Scott?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it really is. You know, that's that place of we can forget, you know, going farther, faring worse. But, you know, when we first started practicing, we did not know that. You know, you kind of say it offhand, like, oh, yeah, and it's this, and that's what ego's doing is. I mean, there's a lot of experience behind those few sentences that we sometimes gloss over. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And it's really nice to have been practicing over time and to take that step back and, gosh, like, look at all the skills that have been developed and seeing some really old karma and seeing how there's a lot more room and that I can see that kind of bigger picture. And I think, too, just, like, more acceptance. So, like, yesterday the process was kind of being in that survival mode and getting really tense and then trying to get away from it. And then surrendering, getting on the recorder, getting outside, talking to a friend, moving the body. But essentially, I think turning attention to love, which was my intention yesterday in honor of Jesus. Mm. And then I would just bawl. I just like the release of all that tightness in the body. And although I'm just imagining all the mean stuff being said to Scott. It's just a release, and then everything relaxes, and it's like, oh, and I could feel the expansion. Okay. And then the attention would turn back and crunch again, and then, you know, then the crying, and like it's, and to just try to honor that whole thing rather than, some sort of evaluation or. Yeah, some sort of evaluation of the tensity and why is this cycle happening so quickly and why can't I let, you know, that kind of conversation about it, just to offer it all up to conscious awareness and to that compassion and know that there's nothing wrong, that as I think was being talked about, is like there's a wearing away that's happening in some of those intense times.
Yeah, exactly.
And just to make a show to that, and I'm sorry, Scott.
I'm sorry. Yeah. God, there's so much in it, isn't there? Yeah. You used the word surrender a few minutes ago, but just that sense of, it sounds like, not making meaning out of it, right? So there you are in this day. The intention is really to bring love to it, you know, in honor of Jesus. And finding that the day brought lots of different things with it. And with that, you know, sort of like Jan was talking about, it dropped in to step away and to do some recording, listening, and move the body, talk to a friend, and that there were some tears with that, you know, some bawling, and just a sense of a release, right? A sense that there are probably some really mean things that are being said to Scott back there, maybe even some of it under the radar. And that relief of, you know, experiencing that compassion through practice, and that letting those kind of expansion and contractions, just all of that be part of it. All of that be part of it.
Yeah.
You know, not like, well, why is it so intense and why is it, but just letting all of that be part of the wearing away process.
Yeah, and just listening to that reflection, letting the awareness expand, which is why group is so important. Often I can't see the identifications from where I'm standing, and then I listen, bring my attention to someone else, and they expand. I can see where I'm caught up. I can, you know, I just watched somebody, you know, people who've had a lot of practice say something like, you know, being really identified, being on fire with identification. It's like, that's how I can almost feel the tears come up. Like, that's how I feel. And the acceptance that wasn't available until we're all connected, you know, and I am so blessed to be, because, you know, being in relationship out here, most people don't, we're not taught the difference between content and process. And so trying to have conversations that are in content is suffering for me. And so just to come back to people who are practicing having relationships and processes, just want to do one of those, I'm in Cantaloupe and I'm going to get on the ground and roll around, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Just that, oh my gosh, that there are people who have that same understanding and that you can come together with them and to hear their experience, have your own experience mirrored in what they're talking about. You know, it's that place of, it's so obvious to me that there's nothing wrong with that person. And yet they're describing an experience that I was getting beat up for, right? So now I suddenly get to look in that mirror of, well, there's nothing wrong with it. It's completely all right. It's just part of the process.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks for outlining how that works. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. Smiling in that release right there. So thanks, Jen.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott.
This is Renee.
Renee.
Hi. Gosh, I can really relate to both of previous callers. And I think one of the things that I was feeling until I heard the first caller speak was that there was something wrong with me because I'm the only one having a problem out here.
Right.
So the
favorite one. You are the only one having a problem out there.
Right.
Yeah. Everyone else is good. Yeah.
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 And so just real, a lot of appreciation for having groups this morning, especially. And
it is so helpful, isn't it, when people talk about not just, oh, you know, I saw this and I saw that, but to talk about the, quote, struggles, you know, the suffering that we all go through and how people work with that. So helpful.
Yeah, and perhaps the reason we see it, I have no idea, but that we're conscious, you know, we're, like, watching and maybe, and then we know, you know, like this morning it was like, okay, there's group this morning, and then I felt this resistance not to go, and and then knowing though that no, you know, I need to go, and I want to go, and I want to be there, and I want to practice, but there's so much resistance pulling me away from it. I was watching that before the call. Meditation.
Well, I was just going to say, what a gift that is to be able to be, because truly, I mean, you know, that's only supposed to be very slightly at the level of consciousness, only enough so that you won't go. So you're just aware of the voice that says, nah, I don't want to do that. But instead, you are aware of the whole thing. So you actually had the option to go, to choose, yeah, I see all that. I get that there is this resistance. Maybe you're even having the front row seat to the experience of resistance, but you still get to choose to go.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was still feeling it during meditation, and about halfway through I just went, it kind of released and went away. And then it was, you know, that suffering was gone related to, you know, wanting that pull to not do it, you know, and to but indulge with conditioning is really what it was wanting me to do, you know. There's no structure today, so it's just my choice.
Right.
With what I, you know,
my
no
choice
work,
to suffer how I want to suffer.
Yeah. So just watching that play between resistance and choosing life. With any content, you know, this morning it was practice. Most of the time lately, it's been with a big life decision that I'm facing, you know, and so just watching that go in between thinking about it, problem solving, what if this happens, what if that happens, with, oh, pick up the recorder and record and listen, just, I don't have to think about it. I can just be in the present moment with whatever is here right now. And even this one in particular was, well, I'm going to prepare for this, and I'm going to write it all down. And then life dropped in. No, you don't need to do that. You don't need to prepare for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so just so quiet like that, right? That's still small voice. No, you don't need to do that.
Yeah,
you know, just offering that other option.
Yep. And it's like a feeling when that happens of, you know, that's the mentor. You know that's
yes.
life talking
yes.
to you.
Yes.
And then there's just another relief of, oh, I can let that go.
Yeah. Yeah, almost like receiving permission that you, when you hear that voice, you really realize that's the mentor, that's life talking. And there's that, oh, wow, I can let that go. I can actually let that go. That's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, so just wanted to process or just talk about that going back and forth between the two.
Yeah. Which is, it's really neat, isn't it? It feels like a theme that everyone's sort of pointing at that today. You know, that those undulations, you know, going back and forth between those two places. And it's really helpful what you're pointing out that, you know, you're seeing it this morning in sort of a microcosm around group, you know, that resistance that ego has to group but that you realize, oh, that's the same thing that's happening in this really big life content, you know, this decision that you're making and watching that back and forth. Between, you know, okay, got to think about it. Yeah, let me write down all these things. To just realizing, no, just dropping it. It sounds like, you know, not thinking about it. Coming back to the present, where in the present is where you're really available to be informed by the mentor, by life.
Yes, yes, and just yes. What a relief that is when I realize it every time.
Huge relief. Yep.
That I come back to it and I can just rest in that, you know, just not even go there with conditioning at all.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's so big. Yeah. But over time, what we realize is the more we have that experience, the more you can realize, well, I don't actually want to go out there and come back. I'm going to practice staying here with it. Where I don't have to do any thinking about it at all. It will unfold.
Yeah, that's great to get to that point. And what I just saw when you said all that is to see it as an opportunity for practice, like to strengthen that muscle.
Yeah.
Just, oh, wow, I have
this
huge amount of content that's really creating a lot of thinking and energy, and I can practice. Such a great opportunity to practice with it.
Mm.
Yeah.
God, how helpful, how incredibly helpful. Yeah, so so take a big life content that normally the voices want to completely torture you over. Oh, I've got to make this decision.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And to realize, oh, this is a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity because everything's triggered. It feels really, really real. And, you know, all of it's there. And what a great opportunity to practice turning to life and away from the conversation.
Yeah, and just when you were, I just saw something else, which is why it's so great to process with Sangha, is all the karma that's in it, you know, all the things that come up about it. Like, you know, like, for instance, if I make this decision, how will it affect these people? You know, all of these different dynamics related to the decision. And, you know, and then the offsetting thing that talks to me about that. And then, you know, just all the conversations to see, looking at it instead of through it, I think that's how we say it.
Yes.
And being able to look at that, because I've noticed quite a bit of karma around taking care of others before myself.
Uh-huh.
And so seeing those aspects of the thinking also.
Yeah. Boy, so all the different flavors that thinking can take, you know, whatever the karma is. And for you, a particular one you're seeing right now is, well, how's that going to affect that person? And what about this person? And what about, and, you know, as you describe it, it's so clear there are endless permutations of that, right? And then, well, there's no way to ever know any of that. So it's back to that place of, you know, only in the present can we be informed about any of it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Renee.
Phil?
It's Rebecca.
Phil. And then Rebecca.
Well, yes, this has been a great conversation, and what it's brought up is so how life just flows, and then all of a sudden you feel like the brakes have been jammed on, and conditioning. I mean, all this big interruption. It's like, oh, there's this commercial announcement or something.
Right, that's a great image. Right, so just flowing along, and then the brakes get put on. Like, here comes ego with its commercial announcement. Time to insert some suffering. We're going to take a break from our life programming to insert some suffering here.
Exactly. And, you know, of course, we call that resistance. I was looking at it, and then when I, unmuted to say my name, it was like I could just feel it. It just came right in, slam. Mm.
That's great.
And I had a feeling life wanted to talk about something, but I didn't quite know what it was. And then, press the unmute, and then conditioning comes in with its it comes in as a big feeling, but it's more, but I know what it's saying, and it's saying like, here you go again, you have nothing important to say or anything to say, and you'll probably mess up, and you know, it's usual stuff if I just let it talk, but
Go ahead. There is that.
Well, there just is, it's that, which we've been looking at, I think, over some of the phone calls, is that one, that's just stop, you know, stop for a moment.
Yeah.
So that we don't go on with it, and it's like a kind of a break, but a life break, back to life, and mute the commercial. You know,
well
just
described.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, really well described. So with the example you're talking about this morning, so there's that impulse to, you know, there's something coming through to say, to participate in the call, and then you notice that's when ego comes in to put the brakes on. Right, and it can come in mm-hmm. in the form of sensation, or you know, I mean, there you go again. What do you have to say? You know, you don't. But then there's that. That's so interesting the way you're describing it. So okay, so there's the ego commercial, but in recognizing that, there can be that pause. You know, kind of like other people have described this morning, recognizing okay, ego has inserted itself here, so we can go with another pause instead of just going with the commercial break of essentially. Giving yourself the space to get back here, recognizing that ego has done that. Okay, that's fine. I can take a pause here. I don't need to go off with it, believe what it's saying. I can take a moment to come back here. You come back here, there you are. Now you're unmuted and just going on with saying whatever life has to say.
Yeah, and as you're saying that, I see how so important it is, and basically that's what we're practicing all the time. Because, you know, we're going along in life and then slam, there comes something. And if we don't recognize it, if I don't recognize it, then that's, you know, that's like the fork in the road, turn down that way instead of staying right on the, you know, on the road. So if we stop at the fork, we can breathe, you know, we can get, let life just kind of flow right back in, and
so true.
Yeah, it really is.
God, that is so true, Phil. And what you know, as you say that, it's so clear that then those ego insertions. So what? They're just part of the flow in a way. If we don't go off with them, you know, if the awareness is expanded to realize that is going to happen, and look at that, it did just happen. That life can just flow right back in, and that's completely all right. I mean, it's kind of the definition of nothing wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. They're a bump in a road.
And there are bumps in the road. That's okay.
Yeah.
Like trying to make the road perfect with no bumps.
Right, right.
Would just be part of the conditioned process. Yeah.
Yeah. But to, yeah, so anyhow, so that's what I've been looking at, and it got so clear when just this minute, when I was going to unmute, that's what happens all the time. And what I was starting out to say is how it or what I thought life might want to say, I don't know. I had a bigger experience of that earlier when somebody told me that one of my relatives had to travel in this storm, you know, over the hill mountains and all this stuff. And I could just feel huge, kind of almost like a panic, you know, of the same kind of panic attack. And there was nothing, you know, conditioning could say except, well, if it talked, it would have said probably a lot of things. And then, but just again, to stop for a minute, and the interesting thing that happened, and somebody else called just shortly after for a conversation of some sort. So just to move the attention all to that instead of, what I could have done was get all, catastrophized. And by the time I was present to that for a while, you know, the whole thing moved into, everything was okay, and you know, it's a trust in life, and you know, just back to life, so to speak. And it's an amazing process we have here.
It really is. Because there you are. Yeah. It sounds like, you know, you get this piece of information that a family member is going to, you know, maybe be driving in a dangerous storm situation, and watching that. You know, using the metaphor you used earlier, that ego commercial is going to be catastrophizing about that. And then this other conversation came up, and it sounded like really moving all of your attention to what's here now, that conversation. And in doing that, really took the attention away from that ego bump in the road and just continued on with the flow of life. And what was there then was just that, well, you know, this is what is, and trusting life unfolding perfectly, and not getting pulled off into that, you know, that fork in the road that ego was going to take you down.
Yeah, and when you said that, I could really see how, you know, when earlier in practice, you know, when Sherry's all the time talking to us, it's about, you know, she'll tell people, yes, and you practice it, and the time gets shorter and shorter and shorter between, you know, the commercial gets, you know, can go on forever, for a lifetime. Or we can figure that's what's going to happen and just pressed, you know, mute, you know, further and further back. So it's just a smaller bit of time, and then we're back to life. And you just see practice working when you can look back, you know.
Exactly. To realize that those commercials used to be most of the time, right? There was barely any room for life to have the show, but the commercials were most of the time. And that in an experience like you had today, really, again, like other people are talking about, having it reflected how much practice has happened and how much transformation there is. And that, yeah, of course the ego comes in to insert itself, but there's so those gaps get shorter and shorter. It's not able to take you off in the way that it used to be able to take you off.
Yeah, it tries to do a commercial all the time, you know, no matter what.
Of course. It's tenacious. It doesn't ever give up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just push mute. That's going to be what I remember now.
Push mute. Yep.
Yeah. Thank you. This is fun.
That's great. Thanks, Phil. Rebecca.
Oh, yeah, there's just such a definite theme going on today. And the sentence from a recent radio show that seems to encapsulate it for me right now is the thinking is the suffering. The thinking is the suffering.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, boy, that's a really, that is a big connection with the conversation today. The thinking is the suffering. That is the suffering.
Yes. And it seems like so much of practice is, first of all, recognizing the thinking, recognize it as such,
yes.
You know, because,
yes.
You know, just because it's,
yep.
it's so deeply conditioned to be who we are and all that that we talk about. So recently a kind of funny example happened that I had this dream that I was on a field trip with Barack Obama, and I was in the gift shop helping him pick out a souvenir for Sasha and Malia, and you know, and it was just this kind of funny dream. And then the next day, I was sitting on the porch in one of the chairs, and mm-hmm. I saw this thought come up that said, "It was so fun going on that field trip yesterday." And the way it said it was absolutely real. Like the thought was said as if it really was real to the brain, to the
it
mind.
It happened.
You know?
Right.
It happened.
Yeah. Went on this field trip with Barack Obama. Yeah. That was so fun.
And the thing that struck me about that was, well, there was a lot, and I've just been kind of sitting with that whole thing because, first of all, it is with such a clear example of what the mind does. I mean, because it could have just used that same thing of, oh, it was so fun when we went skiing that one time, or, you know, whatever. Really happened, right?
Exactly, the thing that, quote, really did happen. Yeah.
And so, like, to the mind, they're all just exactly as real. And, you know, and so to me, that's why that underlines that thing of the suffering is in the thinking, because the mind, it just does. And it's just like what was just talked about with the commercial, you know, coming in. That's just what it does, you know. And so to see it so clearly that it can treat something that, quote, I know didn't happen just exactly like it treats things that, quote, I know did happen, and all of that got to be quotes, you know.
Exactly, and you don't even you lose track of where to put the quote marks, right? Which is the fun of what I think you're describing, right? Because in that moment, you're so there for it to hear the mind say, "Oh, that was so fun being on that field trip," and sort of quote you again. The quote marks can go all over the place here, but you realize, well, that didn't really happen. That was a dream. But to realize it's all real to the mind, and that, but in theory, the ski trip really did happen. But to get it that, oh my gosh, to the mind, it's all the same. And so then coming, circling back to that, the suffering is the thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that, what you just said about the where to put the quote marks, that's really the whole point. It's all quote marks.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the power of that sentence of the thinking is the suffering.
Yes.
You know, I just kind of hasten to add that that's exactly why recording and listening is such the magic portal to hear, because it gets us out of the mind, me, I'll say this on it. It gets me out of the mind and into the moment, into the flesh, into the like real incarnation. I sense Christmas, I keep seeing this theme of divine incarnate. That's the whole feast of Christmas, right? It's exactly what recording and listening is. Getting
that
out
what
of
recording
the mind
listening.
And into the flesh, so to speak.
That movement, that tool, is exactly that it allows you to practice getting out of the mind and into the actual incarnation. into now, into here.
Mm-hmm. The world, into the actual form of the world or something. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's, yeah. And I love, I'm still kind of back on what you said about the quote marks, because it's so, that's really so it, you know, because the, so while I was watching that, the, you know, we might say that what I was the awareness holding that whole thing, the container in which the voice said, wasn't that fun going on that field trip? And, you know, I mean, the container that was holding it all, and where the, quote, me gets enacted, or kind of like freeze-dried coffee kind of gets brought back in, is the more thinking about that. Oh, that was that. Well, and that, you know, there can be connection making and meaning making and insight grabbing, or, you know, all kinds of things that can happen as a, you know, on the heels of that. But really, the awareness holding it all, and even, I don't know, maybe even the delight, you know, and happiness of seeing it, is that container.
Yeah. Boy, it's so nuanced, isn't it? So sort of the who you are is seeing all of that, including the place where the commercial could come in, kind of that image of freeze-dried coffee, you know, coming to, you know, immediately coming into fruition. The way that I wants to insert itself is thinking about that. Oh, okay, so then that means, and oh, and that connects to that and that. And but the awareness, it sounds like, being aware of all of that in the same way a lot of other people have described today in this call of, you know, there's so many different pieces to the experience, and the awareness is aware of all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is just such a rich, alternate conscious experience, you know, of what we're being. Well, it's what so many times I think group is, you know, and any time we're with Sangha, it's just just that consciousness expanding.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. That consciousness expanding experience. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the facility.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Margaret. Hi. This is a great call. I have to say, I've been relating to everything that everybody's been mentioning. And I've been, I think the way that I would describe what's going on for me is that it's like I'm framing something, or conditioning. I mean, conditioning is framing something that's going to happen. As I'm there with something, like my brother was coming to visit, just one example, and he stayed for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's like I'm with him, and it's like I already have a play or a script in my mind somewhere of what's going to happen, and it keeps evolving as I'm interacting with him. I guess in a way it's kind of impromptu, or it's like improv when I'm paying attention.
Exactly.
And I notice, and it's such a pleasure to notice that I'm just playing in that play with him, and not allowing, say, like the director to have any say about what's how this is going to go, but just to really listen, you know, to what he's saying and what he wants to do, and seeing, understanding what that means, and just checking back in with him, and just having such a fun time,
because he's paying attention really to the interactions too, and he's just having a lot of fun. He was bringing some stuff from my dad that he had. My dad passed away quite a long time ago, and he's been holding on to all that information and all these a memoir that, for example, that my father had started writing. And he's never told me about this before, but I don't know that he had found it in all the boxes he was keeping of my dad's stuff. And it just kept evolving. I had sort of had other things I had wanted to do as well, but I could see that, you know, he made all this, I don't know, just that in the bigger picture of it, I wanted to be there with him just doing that and not having that director saying, no, scene two is, you're going off to the...
Exactly. You're supposed to say, well, it's all the way what you started with, Margaret, right? That first catch in the beginning of, you know, well, I have this script, and then realizing, well, no, I don't. Ego, the conditioned mind, has this script of how this is going to go between you and your brother. But the first thing you realize is it's not your script. It's conditioned mind script. And then it sounds like from what you're describing, that then opens you up to switch over to the improv, right? And you don't actually know how it's going to go, and neither does he. And both of you, it sounds like, are just practicing, kind of playing with it, you know, playing with the interactions and noticing what happens and, you know, just seeing how it unfolds. It's a completely different process, as you say, than, no, this is scene two, where you're supposed to, and then he's supposed to, and...
Yeah. And just... I know, just so appreciating that that's possible, that from, I think it's been really helpful, the acceptance workshop was really helpful in looking at how, I guess it's how judgment or something like that can come in and just be a real, just a brick wall there between us that stops, you know, life from being able to be improv, and just appreciating, you know, the 10 breaths, for example, the being able to stop and do that with some. I have another family member that I find it really helpful with, because we don't seem to jive in quite the same way, and that breathing is. Stopping and breathing has been really helpful in that.
Yeah.
And
so the something like judgment that conditioned mind attempts to throw in there to really stop the whole thing, you know, stop it from being improv, stop life from unfolding. But being able to be aware of that, and, you know, as you pointed out, the how helpful something like the acceptance class was with that. Yeah, you know, that's part of it. And with in accepting that, then it's like Phil was describing, we can get right back with the flow of life and just see that that's part of it too, but I don't have to go off with that script. You can stay in the improv practice.
Yeah, and just really seeing that it is a takeover. That is not who I really am. I know, and it's so amazing. What was just shared was it reminded me that I had a very similar sort of a dream, not with anybody that I knew or anybody that was famous, but it was this whole like sequence of events that was just so spacious and interactions with all these strangers, and it was a dream I've never had before. It was a pleasurable dream like that that I have never had before that I know of. And I could just see how, in that same way, there's a voice in my head that's been saying, now, what was that? Why did I have that dream? What was that? And anyway, just the how those thoughts can get in there and take us away from the moment.
Take us away from the moment. Try to make meaning. Yeah, exactly. Away from the improv. And, you know, more and more, as other people have pointed out too, just realizing, no, you don't want to get away from the improv. The improv is what we want. No. That's the fun. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. So much gratitude for practice and sangha and life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Margaret.
This is Ashwini.
Ashwini.
So the themes are, it's just, being in group is wonderful because it's such a whole mind process. And so many of the, like the process becomes clear because the insight from every conversation can get stitched together for insight. So here's the work, there's a content workshop that I've been in for almost a year, and it's being available for a couple of hours every night for a family member that is depressed. And there's no variation in the person's experience. They're not getting better. The story's the same. The process is the same. Mm-hmm. The fears are the same. And it's interesting to be present to that. Because it's at the end of a long day, it's at 9 o'clock at night, and then there's 2 hours of having to facilitate somebody's experience that is not necessarily a joy to be with, you know, because they're depressed. So it's a constant focus on negativity. And oftentimes, the reaction that comes up when the phone rings at precisely the hour when the person gets sufficiently anxious, it's always the same, right? There's no letting up.
Uh-huh.
This is the time the connection has to be made and sustained. And one can feel the desperation of the person almost, right? One can project that this is a lifeline, and there's such a reliance on that happening with that regularity, with that precision, and one moment after that is going to make them, put them over the top in terms of their anxiety, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so just to be present to their experience, but then over time to be present to being so concerned and wanting to assist and then getting over that really quickly, right? And examining the suffering that arises around all of what we're conditioned around. Well, this person is someone you love. This person's been there for you. This is the least you could do for them. So your reaction is not acceptable. What does it cost you to do this, given the context of your life? You know, it's not a lot of time or whatever the conversation is. And so recording a lot, so the email class round, accept your reactions, because it's only from a place of accepting the reaction that you can actually transcend to what's beyond it, right? Acceptance doesn't come if the reaction is not included in the acceptance. And so really every time the identification arises, to be willing to say, this is so for me, it is so for me. It doesn't matter how it's supposed to be, but this is so for me.
Weird.
It's like, it's almost that the only way, in my experience, of transcending suffering is to embrace it.
Yeah.
To face it, to feel it, to, that it's not, there is, so the insight that dropped in after a year of working with it, which was really transformative for me, is freedom is not from. Freedom is within. And what I mean by that is it's not freedom from circumstances. It's not freedom from experience. It's not freedom from karma. It's freedom within karma. It's freedom within circumstances. So within the shape of whatever is going on, is it all right? And that is the only freedom.
Wow. I mean, it's so big, isn't it? Just through all of that, the over and over and over nature of it, the insight that you got, well, first of all, the piece of really getting to whatever's going on with you, that's all right. It has to be all right, that's the acceptance piece of it. That even if it's not, quote, the thing that should be going on with you, really, really over time getting to the place of this is what's going on with me. And that practicing with that is the thing, and that leading to that really profound insight of it's not freedom from. It's not freedom from a particular circumstance. It's freedom within. That's the true freedom.
Yeah. And as long as the direction is it shouldn't be this way, and however subtle that movement is, even if it's to pick up the recorder in order to feel better, it's not embracing the suffering. It's distracting. Yeah. It's avoiding. It's procrastinating. It's doing something to relief. I think Sherry said it on one of the calls, right, that we're not going for relief. We're going for freedom. So anything that we do to step away from it might provide relief, and God knows, tremendous compassion for the person who doesn't want to experience it. But the transformation doesn't happen until I'm just willing to be with it.
Yeah.
Because only there is there the freedom within it that the freedom is. To be with it is where the freedom can be found. Outside of it, there is no freedom.
Mm. That's right. The freedom is only within it. It's only within it. And as you say, tremendous compassion for ourselves as we go through those. I mean, that can be the place where we can get religious and realize, wow, this is happening over and over because it's really challenging, right, to all those components, to be willing to stay right with it, you know, not to pick up the recorder to get away from it, but actually to be with it, to go right through it. And that's the place you actually begin to have access to the freedom within, not the freedom from. Not trying to get relief from it, as you were saying that Sherry says. We're not trying to get relief from it. We're transforming through it.
Yeah, and even that all of the what compassion really is the acceptance of how I'm feeling with it, right? So acceptance in, well, I don't want to feel this. That too is part of the reaction. Right?
Exactly.
And so the subtlety. Yeah. And so then, you know, going back to the conversation about the mind, it's the nature of the mind to do what the mind does, which is to think. Mm-hmm. And so that also that, yes, I want to redirect the attention from the mind is an important movement. But at least as I have practiced with it, what gets revealed is it's you look at the mind to recognize the lie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, in order to get to what is beyond the mind, you have to look beyond the mind. So it's not that you're trying to control the mind. If you want to truly transcend it, you have to be in touch with what is behind it.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to arrive at the truth. And there is a truth that is larger than everything that the mind manufactures.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So it's really looking, you used both, I think, behind and beyond the mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because the wisdom, love, and compassion is everywhere. That is the real process that we want to access. And so when we accept that the mind does what the mind does, there's a way in which it's included in the landscape, right? Because it is the cause of suffering.
Yeah.
So, but if we can't change it and we can't fix it and we can't avoid it and we can't do anything about it, then where does the attention go?
Yeah. Well, what you just said a second ago is so it. The wisdom, love, and compassion is everywhere. It's everything. And so it seems like that's why we always talk about that process of going beyond the mind is that non-doing, right? It's dropping out of almost the active process of being identified with the mind. And when there's that non-doing, what we experience is the love and compassion and wisdom that is everything, that is everywhere.
And I know we're running out of time, so just the one last piece of that, right, Jen? And then you encounter mm-hmm. the other insight, which is it's what Sherry keeps saying. You don't get any credit for cleaning up your room if you don't do it graciously, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the conditioning is, well, you are doing this and showing up every day for 365 days, but you're not doing it without a personal sense right. of anguish or guilt or whatever it is.
Right.
But what we get in touch
right.
with really is what's showing up. What is showing up is kindness, compassion, and patience.
Mm.
That is the other insight, right? You're not doing it because you're conditioned and you're obliged to and you're fighting it. What is doing it is the nature of what's showing up, which is what you are. And that's freedom too. It's the freedom from the conditioned story of who you are.
Yes, exactly. The freedom from the conditioned story of who you are and really getting it, that what's showing up is that patience, is that love, is that compassion. That's what's actually showing up night after night after night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Ashwini. And thank you, everyone. Go happy.
Go happy.